Ukraine turns to its Western allies for new weapons after recapturing territory from Russia. Plus, are SPACs making a comeback? They might be in London anyway. And why a surging dollar is starting to spook investors.
What they're starting to get worried about is, when does it start breaking other assets? When does it make other things vulnerable? And the dollar too strong for too long can start having that impact.
It's Tuesday, September 13th. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal, and here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. On the heels of reclaiming thousands of square miles from Russian forces, Ukraine has signaled it will make major new requests for weapons from the U.S. and its allies. A document shared with U.S. lawmakers and viewed by the Wall Street Journal lists dozens of types of armaments that Kyiv says it will need in order to press its offensive into 2023. That includes a tactical missile system the U.S. previously declined to provide out of concerns Ukraine could use it to strike Russian territory and spark a wider conflict. Ukraine's embassy in Washington and the White House didn't respond to requests for comment, while a senior U.S. defense official declined to say if any new types of weapons might be provided to Ukraine. We are exclusively reporting that Twitter shareholders are poised to approve Elon Musk's $44 billion takeover of the social media company today, according to people familiar with the matter. Musk has been trying to exit the deal. If early results hold after a shareholder meeting this afternoon, the fate of the deal would rest in the hands of a Delaware judge who will decide if Musk will have to follow through with the purchase. Meanwhile, Twitter's former head of security turned whistleblower, Peter Zatko, is scheduled to testify before a U.S. Senate committee today about his concerns over Twitter's protection of sensitive user data and other security problems. Twitter has said his whistleblower complaint is inconsistent and inaccurate. Musk has received permission to incorporate Zatko's allegations into his countersuit. Primary season draws to a close today with voters in Rhode Island, Delaware, and New Hampshire heading to the polls. One closely watched race is the Republican Senate primary in New Hampshire, where retired Army General Don Bolduc holds a double-digit lead over State Senator Chuck Morse. But Bolduc has echoed former President Donald Trump's false claim that he won the 2020 election, sparking questions within the party about his ability to beat Democratic Senator Maggie Hassan in the left-leaning state. Trump has not made an endorsement in the race. And deposits at U.S. banks fell by a record $370 billion in the second quarter, their first decline since 2018. Bank deposits, which usually remain relatively stable, swelled in the past 2 years because of pandemic stimulus. However, Federal Reserve rate increases are taking some of that money out of the system by increasing demand for government bonds and decreasing loan demand. Journal Finance reporter Julie Steinberg has more.
The outflow in deposits during the quarter isn't a problem for banks, which are sitting on more deposits than they want. Yet the trend will affect the Fed's decision-making. Declining deposits could reduce bank reserves at the Fed faster than expected. That could prompt the Fed to stop tightening early next year, some economists have said.
Another cue the Fed could be taking? The latest inflation figures. The Consumer Price Index for August is due out this morning, the last reading before the Fed meets next week. Special purpose acquisition companies, or SPACs, were all the rage early last year. But as we've reported here before, 2022 has been a down year for the blank check vehicles that some firms can use to go public without having to go through the full IPO process. However, while Wall Street is turning its back on SPACs, investors in the UK are giving them a fresh look. And to learn more about the reawakening of the SPAC market in London, we're joined now by Wall Street Journal Heard on the Street columnist John Sandreo. Hey, John, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
So remind us briefly why Wall Street soured on SPACs in the first place.
Well, you will remember that 2021 was a bit of a crazy year in markets because we had that whole meme stock mania what that also brought about was an immense boom in these blank check vehicles, which basically mean that, you know, an investor raises a lot of money and then that cash vehicle merges with a private company. So this is easier and less subject to scrutiny than if you IPO your company directly. The love from the retail investors and the fact that, you know, you had this vehicle to make them emerge to public markets created a boom in these things. But of course, as interest rates rose and markets have become concerned about economic growth, the war in Ukraine, this is the first thing that tanked. And now anything that's associated to SPACs or something that emerged as a SPAC is now extremely downbeaten.
And yet, John, there does seem to be some fresh IPO activity in London. What accounts for that?
Well, it's not a lot relative to the US, but we have to underscore that the London market was extremely niche. There was a changing regulations by the FCA, the regulator here, which makes it now, you know, the rules were really draconian. So now it's kind of more reasonable, right? But you would still think, well, you know, they're beaten up everywhere. It shouldn't happen. But there is a bit of a different profile of an investor here and a different profile of an economy. We're talking about less speculative targets, probably. I mean, more old economy stuff like energy transition. It's more about now that we can, we will use this SPAC vehicle to try and invest in stuff that is a bit safer and with a bit more due diligence. And the thought is perhaps if, you know, the London market is able to make investments that make people think, well, a SPAC is not synonymous with a meme anymore, then perhaps with the new SEC rules in the US as well, we will see whether this vehicle can serve a function that is not just speculative or bubbly.
That was Wall Street Journal Heard on the Street columnist John Sindreo. John, thanks so much as always.
Thank you.
Coming up, it has been one of the best years for the US dollar in decades. But good news for the greenback is proving to be a source of anxiety for investors and for emerging markets around the world. We'll have that story after the break.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
When is a strong dollar too strong for Wall Street? The answer might be right now. Because while a rising dollar has boosted the purchasing power of individual Americans, Wall Street Journal Financial Markets reporter Julia Ambra Verlaine says the surge in the dollar is now squeezing economies around the world and rattling U.S. companies with large sources of foreign income in the process. And Julia Ambra joins us now with more. Thanks for being with us.
Great to be on.
So remind us what kind of year it has been for the dollar and what effect a strong dollar is having beyond America's shores.
So this has actually been one of the best years for the dollar in multiple decades. I mean, the dollar is up a little bit over more than 12% year to date if you look at different indices. It's one of the best performing financial investments out there. But we're reaching a tipping point where now it's starting to ripple across and have an impact on different economies and different assets. So its rise is going to start having consequences because it's been so long and sustained at this point.
Yeah, tell us about those consequences for other countries around the world.
So you have to kind of break it down. The first one that people always think about when it comes to a strong dollar is emerging markets, and that's because they price their debt in dollars. So all of the sudden, a higher dollar, a stronger dollar means their debt becomes more expensive to manage. You also have this idea that you're exporting inflation. A stronger dollar makes goods and services more expensive to emerging market economies. So they get a little bit of a double whammy. And the third thing is that their central banks, in order to tame inflation, have to start hiking as well. They might not have an economy that is ready to have tighter borrowing conditions, so they can be pushed into recession. And in the past, I mean, you saw the Asia financial crisis was sparked by a currency issue, was sparked by a very strong dollar. So you can start having runs in emerging markets because of a stronger dollar and the ramifications there.
Moving on from emerging markets to more developed economies, how are they faring?
Let's look at Europe right now. They have to price a lot in dollars as well, especially their energy now. They're relying on liquefied natural gas. That is priced in dollars. With Russia cutting off the pipeline, they don't have a euro-based energy source anymore. So it's the same concept almost for Europe because, I mean, the euro has fallen, I think, over 15% at one point against the dollar. Year to date, the dollar's up over 12% against the euro, and it's kind of been hanging in there. It hasn't been moving. And that means that everything's much more expensive for them. And they have a big inflation problem. They are seeing record inflation numbers, and a weaker currency exacerbates your inflation problem, and it makes it much harder for the European Central Bank to do its job. And so now what people are worried about is if you have higher inflation caused by a weaker currency in Europe, the central bank needs to tighten more. The ECB just went 0.75 percentage point. Can their economy handle it? That's another question. And people don't think they can, which means you have currency investors shorting the euro even more because they think there's a recession coming.
You mentioned investors. Bring us back to Wall Street. How is all of this currency movement affecting the sentiment there?
On one hand, they can just look flat out at what is the dollar trade. Wall Street can say, how can I make money on this? Currencies are trending. Currencies are volatile. That's just another instrument for investors to make money during very complex markets right now. And it's a trend they can follow. They understand it. But what they're starting to get worried about is when does it start breaking other assets? When does it make other things vulnerable? And the dollar too strong for too long can start having that impact. And that's what investors are getting a little bit nervous about.
And these are big names raising red flags, no?
Oh, you have quite a few, some of the largest asset managers. Everyone's talking about the dollar. I mean, even U.S. corporations, again, it's coming up in earnings. I mean, for over 10 years, corporations weren't talking about the dollar having any impact on their revenue. So you have a lot of big names from asset managers to the world's largest corporations like Microsoft talking about a stronger dollar.
And so what happens from here? Does the world essentially just have to sit back and wait for the dollar to cool off?
There are two answers to that one. One that is less likely, but people have talked about it again, is will there be currency intervention? And there's this big moment back in 1985, it was called the Plaza Accord, when multiple countries got together and they all agreed that the dollar had to be weaker. So they managed to force down the value of the dollar. People are bringing it up again. Is there going to have to be some global intervention to keep the dollar at least where it is, not from getting stronger? But a lot of people think that's unlikely. Some people think it could happen. The other one is you just have to ride it out at all. The dollar will depend on other assets and on risk sentiment and things that investors, it's out of their control. Inflation is out of their control. The war in Europe is out of their control. The dollar is reflecting that. And so they're going to have to adjust to how the dollar moves.
That was Wall Street Journal financial markets reporter Julia Ambra Verlaine. Julia Ambra, thanks so much for breaking this down.
You're welcome.
And finally, bouquets of flowers and condolence cards are what you might expect to see after the passing of a famous figure. But Queen Elizabeth II's death has brought about a new kind of tribute in the UK. And Journal reporter Joanna Sugden says it's all because of another British icon, Paddington Bear.
He starred in a sketch with the Queen on her Platinum Jubilee in June, where he was seen taking tea with her.
Perhaps you would like a marmalade sandwich. I always keep one for emergencies.
So do I. I keep mine in here.
Oh.
For later.
So it's become a kind of symbol of two very British icons. And people then took that and brought the bears and his favourite snack, the marmalade sandwich, to the gates of the palaces and the castles and have laid them in tribute to her.
But all of those sandwiches have become a bit of a problem for the royal parks, and they're now asking mourners to not leave teddy bears and other non-flower objects that can't be easily recycled. After all, as Paddington says, those sandwiches are probably best left in your bag anyway, for later. And that's What's News for Tuesday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.